Chapter 12. In extending his agency, however, Mr. Walker increased his expenses proportionably and multiplied his debts accordingly. More furniture and more plate, more wines and more dinner parties, became necessary. The little pony phaeton was exchanged for a brougham of evenings. And we may fancy our old friend Mr. Eglanton's rage and disgust, as he looked from the pit of the opera, to see Mrs. Walker surrounded by what he called the swell young nobs about London, bowing to my lord, and laughing with his grace, and led to a carriage by Sir John. The Ravenswing's position at this period was rather an exceptional one. She was an honest woman, visited by that peculiar class of our aristocracy who chiefly associate with ladies who are not honest. She laughed with all, but she encouraged none. Old Crump was constantly at her side now, when she appeared in public, the most watchful of mamas, always awake at the opera, though she seemed to be always asleep. But no dandy debauchee could deceive her vigilance, and for this reason Walker, who disliked her as every man naturally will, must, and should dislike his mother-in-law, was contented to suffer her in his house, to act as a chaperon to Morgiana. None of the young dandies ever got admission of mornings to the little mansion in the Edgware Road. The blinds were always down. And though you might hear Morgiana's voice half across the park as she was practicing, yet the youthful hall porter in the sugar loaf buttons was instructed to deny her, and always declared that his mistress was gone out, with the most admirable assurance. After some 2 years of her life of splendor, there were, to be sure, a good number of morning visitors, who came with single knocks, and asked for Captain Walker. But these were no more admitted than the dandies aforesaid, and were referred, generally, to the captain's office, whither they went, or not at their convenience. The only man who obtained admission into the house was Borowski, whose cab transported him thrice a week to the neighborhood of Connaught Square, and who obtained ready entrance in his professional capacity. But even then, and much to the wicked little music master's disappointment, the Dragon Crump was always at the piano, with her endless worsted work, or else reading her unfailing Sunday Times, and Bereskai could only employ E. Langvich of Dice, as he called it, with his fair pupil, who used to mimic his manner of rolling his eyes about afterwards, and perform Bereskai in love for the amusement of her husband and her mama. The former had his reasons for overlooking the attentions of the little music master, and as for the latter, had she not been on the stage, and had not many hundreds of persons, in jest or earnest, made love to her, what else can a pretty woman expect to as much before the public? And so the worthy mother counseled her daughter to bear these attentions with good humor, rather than to make them a subject of perpetual alarm and quarrel. Borowski, then, was allowed to go on being in love, and was never in the least disturbed in his passion, and if he was not successful, at least the little wretch could have the pleasure of hinting that he was, and looking particularly roguish, when the Ravenswing was named, and assuring his friends at the club, that pon his vort dear vas no trudden dat rebort. At last one day it happened that Mrs. Crump did not arrive in time for her daughter's lesson, perhaps it rained, and the omnibus was full a smaller circumstance than that has changed a whole life here now. Mrs. Crump did not arrive, and Bereskai did, and Morgiana, seeing no great harm, sat down to her lesson as usual, and in the midst of it down went the music master on his knees, and made a declaration in the most eloquent terms he could muster. "Don't be a fool, Borowski," said the lady. "I can't help it, if her language was not more choice, and if she did not rise with cold dignity, exclaiming, 'Unhand me, sir.'" "Don't be a fool," said Mrs. Walker, "but get up and let's finish the lesson. You hard-hearted, adorable little creature, will you not listen to me?" "No, I will not listen to you, Benjamin," concluded the lady. "Get up and take a chair, and don't go on in that ridiculous way, don't." But Borowski, having a speech by heart, determined to deliver himself of it in that posture, and begged Morgiana not to turn away her divine eyes, and to listen to the voice of his despair, and so forth. He seized the lady's hand, and was going to press it to his lips, when she said, with more spirit, perhaps, than grace, "Leave go my hand, sir. I'll box your ears if you don't." But Bereskai wouldn't release her hand, and was proceeding to imprint a kiss upon it, and Mrs. Crump, who had taken the omnibus at 12:15 instead of that at 12, had just opened the drawing room door, and was walking in, when Morgina, turning as red as a peony, and unable to disengage her left hand, which the musician held, raised up her right hand, and, with all her might and main, gave her lover such a tremendous slap in the face as caused him abruptly to release the hand which he held, and would have laid him prostrate on the carpet, but for Mrs. Crump, who rushed forward, and prevented him from falling, by administering right and left a whole shower of slaps, such as he had never endured since the day he was at school. "What imprudence," said that worthy lady, "you'll lay hands on my daughter, will you? 1, 2, you'll insult a woman in distress, will you, you little coward? 1, 2, take that, and mind your manners, you filthy monster." Bereskai bounced up in a fury. "Why, Chof, you shall hear of this," shouted he, "you shall pay me this." "As many more as you please, little Benjamin," cried the widow. "Augustus, to the page, was that the captain's knock?" At this Beresk, I made for his hat. "Augustus, show this imprudence to the door, and if he tries to come in again, call a policeman. Do you hear?" The music master vanished very rapidly, and the two ladies, instead of being frightened or falling into hysterics, as their betters would have done, laughed at the odious monster's discomfiture, as they called him. "Such a man as that set himself up against my Howard," said Morgina, with becoming pride. But it was agreed between them that Howard should know nothing of what had occurred, for fear of quarrels, or lest he should be annoyed. So when he came home not a word was said, and only that his wife met him with more warmth than usual, you could not have guessed that anything extraordinary had occurred. "It is not my fault that my heroine's sensibilities were not more keen, that as he had not the least occasion for sal volatile or symptom of a fainting fit, but so it was, and Mr. Howard Walker knew nothing of the quarrel between his wife and her instructor until he was arrested next day at the suit of Benjamin Bereskai for 220 guineas, and, in default of payment, was conducted by Mr. Tobias Larkins to his principal's lock-up house in Chancery Lane. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.